So, hello and welcome to Europe in My Backyard. I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of the following weekly programmes, we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which European cohesion policy impacts us all on our daily lives. So today, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Travis O'Doherty, the EU Programme Manager and Team Leader at the Eastern and Midland Regional Assembly. So, hey, Travis, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. It's great to be here and thanks for the opportunity.
No worries at all. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the EMRA initially and your own work within the organisation?
Yeah, so the Eastern and Midland Regional Assembly are based in Ballymun and we cover 12 local authorities. So we cover Dublin and the Midlands and the Greater Dublin region. And we're an organisation that deals with planning and EU functions. We produce our main document is our regional spatial economic strategy, but we also sit in monitoring committee for a number of EU programs, and we have crucially the contact point for our backed program. Mm-hmm. And so I provide that national contact point, and what it is the program is centrally managed from Paris. The secretariat managed the program, but most EU countries have a contact point to promote URBACT in each country in their own language and to run events and to support the networks that are existing and to try and encourage local authorities to apply for funding under URBACT. So we've had this role since 2017. Mm. And I've recently returned to it. My colleague Mike Brennan was doing it previously, so only the last 2 months I've returned to it. So it's great to be back and to see the good work that's been happening. So it's a very nice program, actually. It's great managing authority in Paris and a small team, but they do great work.
Yeah. So do you want to, for anybody that's not heard of URBACT, can you maybe tell us a little bit about what it all is?
Yeah, so it's a program about integrated sustainable urban development. Mm. Basically, it allows towns, villages, cities to come together to find shared solutions for different problems. And it covers all areas of urban development, whether it's kind of more social, economic or environmental. So basically, cities come together, they learn from each other and they develop good practices and transfer practices from one city to another. But crucially, it's about the bottom-up approach. It's not about top-down. It's about different community groups coming together from the bottom up, setting up what they call an URBACT local group, and basically developing strategies and implementing good practices through that group spontaneously from the bottom up rather than top-down, this URBACT method. Mm. It's a participatory method where everyone gets together and shares their views. So that's a crucial part of the URBACT program and something that kind of distinguishes it from other EU funding programmes. So it's a very important part.
Yeah, so I mean, who would be eligible for the URBACT funding? What kind of groups and organisations would come to you?
It's mainly local authorities are eligible. But so the local authorities usually would manage the programme, but in that URBACT local group that I mentioned, there'd be all kinds of community representation, such as, you know, tidy towns groups, community, local community development associations, all kinds of sports partnerships, different community groups. Depends on the nature of the problem that the network are looking at, but all kinds of community groups would participate in that local group. And there's great supports from URBACT through the URBACT of experts, and that can support and guide the network and share different sessions and help write the produce an integrated action plan. That's the main output of the URBACT network. So there's great supports there in achieving that, but it's targeted really at, in Ireland, at local authorities as the partners.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that not everybody that applies for funding would get it. I mean, is it quite a strict process for receiving funding?
Yeah, it is quite a strict, so same as a lot of EU programs. There's typically the way it works is that there'll be a call announced. So the URBACT Secretariat announced we're setting up a call for projects, and they'll produce terms of reference and a guide. So it'll all be very clear, you know, what can be funded, what can't be funded, how to set up a network. And typically, actually, a lot of partners are a little hesitant about, you know, one of the first questions is how did they find partners across Europe?
Yeah.
And that's part of my role to put local authorities in touch with other contact points and other organizations across Europe to find a partnership. Typically, they usually develop a website where you can post an idea. So you can say, I'm interested in either leading a network or joining a network on a certain topic, and then find partners from that. And there'll be training, there'll be webinars, there'll be different supports provided, and there'll be like a helpline and an email address for support. And that call will typically be open for maybe a 6-8 week period. and you develop your proposal, and then there'll be a kind of a 6 month period to further develop that. You work, an expert will work with you, and you'll get more partners, and you'll do a baseline study,
yeah,
and start implementing a plan for the actions, and then the actual actions will take a 24 month period. But there's loads of supports available, so whether you're new to the program or you've done it before, there's supports are available there. So it's,
yeah, I'm guessing putting a proposal together is not just, do you know what I mean, you just sit down and write a list of stuff that you need. I mean, is it quite a big process? Do you help people with the proposal process?
Yeah, we can help people, and it's about defining the problem, what you need to be addressed, what the current state of play is, you know, what's the baseline, and why, defining really why you need support from Urbact. So typically you'll be with 7 to 10 other cities looking at a problem, but all the cities will be looking at that problem in a slightly different way, in a slightly different context. So you can basically learn from other cities. It's great. It's a great opportunity, but also, of course, you get to travel. Typically, you get to travel to all the different cities throughout the 2 year of the project, and actually get to see hands on what they're doing and how they're addressing their problems, and develop that into your own integrated action plans. That's another great benefit of the program.
Yeah, so I mean, it's basically Europe wide. Pretty much the whole of Europe is included in Urbact.
All of Europe, yeah.
Wow.
And even some outside of Norway and Switzerland can participate at reduced funding rates. And even the new countries, the accession countries that are looking to join, they can partners as well. So it's pretty broad coverage, and it's and the topics are extremely broad as well. So there's something really for everybody there.
Yeah, I mean, can you maybe give us some examples of Urbact networks in Ireland?
Yeah, there's loads of examples. There's about, I think, about 17 in the current program.
Oh, wow.
So the program's been going since 2002, and even before then it was in a different format. So every 6 years it kind of changes. That follows the kind of EU funding framework. And so we're currently in the Urbact 3 program, they call. The Urbact 4 will be starting the end of this year. So in Urbact 3, there's a huge range of networks. So to just give you a few examples, say the Playful Park is an interesting one. Cork are partners in that. It's basically about using play to achieve the strategic aims of the local authority. So they've basically closed off streets in Cork and develop play activities using all kinds of tools. Maybe say, for example, Jenga, or they chalk out areas for play. And it's not guided play. It's literally, they put the materials down, they close off a street, and they allow the people to come in and develop the activities themselves. It's not guided, and it's worked incredibly successfully. So successfully, there's another, a national practice transfer initiative where 5 other towns in Ireland are looking to transfer the learnings from Cork into those 5 towns. That's a really successful example. Another one on urban green space and urban agriculture is from Carlow. Actually, I visited there last week, and there's Ungardine Bio. It's a community garden project, and there's a community centre. There's gardens all run from the bottom up by the community. They grow their own vegetables. They have different areas for like contemplation and for running events. They have a clay oven where they bring people from the community in, and they organise events. And it's 4 or 5 acres. It's a big site within Carlow that's the Urbact network is tapping into and helps inform that. So it's really successful. There's loads more. Dunleary Rathdown, I know you're looking at examples kind of more within Leinster.
Yeah.
So Dunleary Rathdown have good long history of participation in Urbact. They were on one called Change, which looked at kind of citizen engagement in public services. And now that one's finished. Now they've a new one, which is Tourism Friendly Cities. Of course, tourism is huge in Dunleary, and they're looking at how to mitigate the negative impacts of tourism on the area. So really very broad and very interesting. Longford were partners in one, MAPS, Military Assets as Public Spaces. Basically, the local authority were given the former military barracks, Connolly Barracks. And they used the Urbact network to involve the Urbact group and to develop a plan for that military barracks. And they it was very successful. They got the minister to launch that plan. They got a lot of publicity and it was a very successful network. And then they went on to their now partners in another one called Urban Security about tackling antisocial behavior. A very, very good project. So there's so many examples. Actually, the best way to search the examples, the URBACT website, urbact.eu, and then you can click networks and you can filter. You can filter by, say, team if you're looking for a certain theme, or by country if you have the Irish examples. So that's, I mean, there's literally hundreds of examples.
So how important do you think this EU funding as a thing is for Ireland?
I think it's really important. It's important for learning, for development. Like, there's so much we can learn from other cities across Europe.
And, yeah, definitely.
You know, they're all tackling kind of similar, the same problem in an URBACT network, but they're all looking at it in different ways. Some of them, say, for example, if we're looking at the example in Cork there, or the example in Rush or Carlo, they're bottom-up community-driven projects. But some countries don't have the same structures that Ireland has, and they're actually quite empty of Ireland's, the voluntary and community sector in Ireland, and it's more top-down, whereas a local authority may have to do a lot more work, or it's or maybe national government or regional authority. So when we visit a lot of other countries, they're quite envious of our community and voluntary sector and how active it is. And what's the beauty of many of the networks is this URBACT local group with all the local stakeholders, many of the projects that group continues after the project finishes. And that's like a permanent structure that's been set up, very effective. And that's a huge, huge thing for the towns and villages. And they go on to often look at other funding streams, whether it's national funding streams from Creative Ireland or whatever, or sports partnership funding, other EU funds are often, we have a very high success rate of once a local authority is a partner in URBACT, they go on like for further URBACT funding. So clearly, URBACT are doing something right in that. It's also a great stepping stone for other, because it's a smaller program and it doesn't fund capital infrastructure. It's this URBACT method. It funds this transfer learning. So it's easier from an administrative perspective, and it's often we get a lot of local authorities that don't have a huge amount of experience in EU projects that participate in URBACT networks. And then that's a stepping stone to either participating more in URBACT or other EU funding streams. So it's really successful. And another huge point is with many of these EU programs, there's a population limit, say a similar urban innovation actions is kind of a little bit similar to URBACT.
Right, right.
But 50,000 population threshold. So that means only the cities in Ireland are eligible for urban innovation actions. As URBACT, there's no lower population limit. So we have towns and villages with less than, you know, with 1,500 to 2,000 people who are partners in URBACT networks. And that's really attractive for Irish local authorities. That's a big selling point. And that's something that really has developed interest in URBACT in Ireland. So,
yeah. I mean, you spoke earlier about the NPTI, the National Practice Transfer Initiative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that involves?
Yeah, that's a brand new initiative. So it kicked off, there's five countries. So this is within a country. So normally URBACT networks, you have you typically say 6 to 12 partners, all different countries in Europe, like East Europe, West, North, South Europe, and less developed and more developed regions, all learning from each other.
Right.
But this new National Practice Transfer Initiative is within Ireland. So basically, that initiative I mentioned in Cork, the Playful Paradigm, was so successful that we wrote an application to transfer that to five other towns in Ireland. So they are Rathdrum in Wicklow, Donegal Town, Rush in North Dublin, and Sligo Town in Portlaoise. They're all interested in transferring that good practice developed in Cork to those towns.
Wow.
And Cork have done excellent work in packaging what they've learned into little packages that the other towns can take on. So not all aspects are being directly transferred to those towns. Those towns pick which aspects are most relevant to them and transfer to them. So Cork have done a great job at making it accessible and transferable. And that's been going on now since June of last year.
Yeah.
And we're kind of towards the end of that project, but it's been hugely successful. we're coming into the new programme now, and we're hoping that this National Practice Transfer Initiative will also make it into the new URBAC 4 programme that will be launched later this year. So that's an interesting space, that there's an evaluation of that. Those five countries are doing, Ireland is one of five countries that are doing this National Practice Transfer Initiative, and URBAC are doing an evaluation of that. And we're hoping that'll be really great praise for the work that's been going on, and that'll continue into the URBAC 4 funding programme. It's very good. The lead expert there is Vessel Badenhorst, and he's, you know, facilitating fighting expertise, but it's very much from the bottom up, and it's worked really well, actually working very well.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. We're delighted to get the message across, and urbac.eu website is a great source of information. Or contact me through our own emra.ie website, and we're happy to help any local authorities. And actually, the urbac.eu website has basically all the information you need. There's a library there. There's everything you need is there.